So, and one man who has been meditating on this well before we heard there was going to be any announcement today was Professor Keith Gottskalk, and he is the University of the Western Cape political scientist. Prof, good afternoon. I mean, I thought you wrote a really sober and incisive piece this morning in the conversation around the state of the DA, how the election of Helen Zille's federal chair after him, Mashaba's resignation as well as attempts to get rid of Musi Maimane might determine the future course of the party. And that's why we welcome you onto the program this afternoon to unpack some of this for us. Thank you very much for being with us. I mean, we are now speaking about this a little bit differently, facing the prospect that there is a chance Musi Maimane may exit as party leader. What would that mean if it were to come true this afternoon?
Well, clearly, Musi Maimane made the worst mistake of his career by asking Ryan Coetzee to write a report on the DA which recommended that Musi Maimane resign. So we're now all waiting to see what his next moves are. It would seem very unlikely that he could stay on beyond the DA's Congress, which will be called earlier than scheduled.
Prof, of course, the fact that this media briefing has already been moved twice suggests there's some kind of jostling within the party right now, or a tug of war between those who want Maimane to stay on as party leader and those who don't. Which faction do you suspect may win?
I imagine that Musi Maimane's supporters must be frantically lobbying behind the scenes. But to us outsiders, we cannot see any obvious rivals to step up to the pitch to contest the leadership with him. So all our eyes are watching what's going to happen next.
Tell me, I mean, you've written very well about Helen Zille in this article, and you've balanced her political past as an activist, which we mustn't deny exists at all. You've spoken about her work in the End Conscription campaign in the 80s, the Black Sash involvement she had. And then you balance that with some of her more recent comments and her tweets on things like colonization, which are highly problematic. But do you see her election as the main reason that Musi Maimane may want to leave the party?
Well, clearly the stepping down of Herman Mashaba has been a big factor, with Musi sharing Herman's eloquent statement of resignation for support in public, and for the leader of a political party to come out in full support and say, "You might hear it," someone resigning from a political party creates obvious conflicts and tensions within the DA.
You've spoken about the two camps that you say can be characterized as the equal opportunity liberals. Those who oppose affirmative action are arguing that it violates the principle that opportunities should be allocated on merit. And then you've got the faction that you call the affirmative action or diversity liberals, that's mainly black and supports what we understand to be affirmative action, or called BEE now. How divided are these two groups?
They clearly are important aspects. When one reads the Ryan Coetzee Tony Leon report, it says that color is one aspect of our dimension, but if you consider you are primarily a representative of a group, you should not feel at home in the DA. And we saw it just after that Herman Mashaba resign. So at its coming conference, among the issues the DA needs to consider is what alternatives does it have in mind for affirmative action and preferential procurement. The report lays down that the DA should consider present disadvantage to be a criteria and should reject a race-based system of anything.
Prophet, you know, aside from the overtly political stuff around these developments within the Democratic Alliance, you've also pointed to the issue of service delivery, and you've particularly focused on the metropoles where the DA has been governing in one way or another, either in a coalition or in a kind of agreement with a party like the EFF, where it the EFF decides as the situation arises. Whether it is going to support the DA's motions on particular issues or not. Have these relationships with other parties compromised the DA's ability to provide in these municipalities?
There, the Ryan Coetzee report mentions that when the DA was in coalitions in the past, as in Cape Town, it dominated the coalition and could implement all its policy. But it says the coalitions in Tshwane and Johannesburg, it needs to consult all its members to see whether these coalitions hurt or help the DA brand. And that's a big choice to make because, as Herman Mashaba points out, after the next local government elections in 2021, we're going to see more coalitions rather than less. And, of course, since the aim of political parties is to come into power or to share power, it's a big choice to make to decide not to enter in coalition but remain on in the official opposition in a municipality or parliament. And, of course, the DA has made such choices more than once in the past.
Prof, I'm going to give you a second just to catch your breath, perhaps have a sip of water if it is available to you right now. And I just want to bring in another aspect of this, which I'm going to ask the professor about next. And this is about the issue of other factors, such as the loyalty of voters to a particular ideology. I mean, we've seen the DA score only about 21% of the vote in the national poll earlier this year. That was surprisingly low. I think many DA supporters would have expected them to have performed a little bit better. So would analysts. However, what no one really took into account was the fact that the more conservative elements of the DA's support base were seemingly turning to the Freedom Front Plus and saying, well, actually, it's quite possible that our political interests are better represented by that party than by the Democratic Alliance that is becoming much too liberal for our liking, much too diverse in its outlook for us to continue supporting it. I mean, how does someone like Musi Maimane navigate something like that as party head, given that it is a numbers game? So obviously, they're going to have to do the right thing and appeal to a more diverse support base. But at the same time, they risk losing part of their traditional support base that had felt quite comfortable up to now.
It's a common problem for parties of the centre, like the DA and the ANC, to leak support from either end. Here, Hillenzel and others have raised that the DA needs to take a stronger stand about mother tongue education in schools and universities and a stand about affirmative action and preferential procurement if he does not want to leak Afrikaner votes back to the Freedom Front Plus. On the other side, the DA has got to ask, how do we win over more black votes? One of the things it's done in the past is to try to take the lead in ensuring that title deeds to formerly rented council houses in the townships get handed out to their owners faster than the ANC and other administrations have done that. Also, if the DA was to lead farm redistribution, it could again say we offer title deeds, whereas the ANC government is now limiting new farmers to 30-year leaseholds or shorter leases, but denying them ownership. So that's among the sort of policy options which the DA needs to debate through in the months to come.
As long as they are standing by this policy that race cannot be a proxy for disadvantaged, how much do you think they are going to be able to grow that black supporter base, though, Prof?
That's a hot topic in South Africa. Now, one example of using a class-based and not a race-based measure is, of course, the NSFAS bursaries for university and college students are allocated to all families whose combined income is less than 350,000 rand per year, as opposed to a race-based measure. So that's among the sort of options that the DA can offer in future.
Prof, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really good to have your thought out insight into that story. Professor Keith Gottskalk, he's a political scientist from the University of the Western Cape, wrote an interesting article in The Conversation this morning. And let me actually just see if I can give you the full title of that, because it really is worth a good read. Of course, it may in some ways have been overtaken by the events of this afternoon once they have unfolded. But it's a very, very interesting article indeed. And I actually don't have the title here. But it talks about the DA showing severe strain. That's what it is, the DA showing severe strain. So we're going to see how severe that strain actually is in the next few hours, and whether indeed Musi Maimane is going to stay on as head of the Democratic Alliance, or whether indeed he will be leaving as head.